I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 15. We'll be reading the first 10 verses. Just like to line the chorus of the previous song before the last one. Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in his great love. We just sang about the great love of God. From all harm, safe, where? In his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. That's only because if we rest in the sheltering arm. Love that thought. Trusting, confiding in the love of God doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard times, that we're going to go through life, it's going to be a breeze. There's no other place I'd rather be than in the sheltering arm of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. All who are able, we ask that you would kneel for prayer.
The title of the message today is Lost and Found, Restore and Rejoice. And you might want to keep your Bibles open to Luke 15 because we're going to be going kind of expository through these. We see three parables in Luke 15 about the lost and found. And restoring and rejoicing. Today we want to look at the first two in verses 1 to 10. The lost sheep and the lost coin. The key to understanding these parables are by looking at the first two verses. I'm going to read that. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now picture Jesus standing there with the Pharisees and see the publicans coming up to hear Jesus speak. Now the publicans were the tax collectors. And they were hated because, first of all, they collected taxes for the Roman authorities. And so they were kind of considered like traitors to the Jewish mindset. Also, they were hated because many of them were swindlers. They charged too much tax. They got rich off the poor. And so, see the publicans coming up towards Jesus. But it also says sinners. The prostitutes. The harlots. The people who didn't keep the Sabbath. The people who never tried to keep the law. The people who never traveled to Jerusalem to sacrifice animals. The people who swore and used Jehovah's name in vain. Some were drunkards. Some had many sexual partners. To the scribes and Pharisees, these publicans and sinners were the low class of Jewish life. They were the worst of the worst, the spiritual gutter rats. Pretend you are sitting in the middle of your basement with the lights out and you just have a small flashlight. And as you shine that flashlight, as you're sitting on the basement floor, you see 15 big cockroaches coming towards you. You see 15 daddy long leggers coming towards you. You see some sprickets and some crickets. What would your thoughts be about the crowd you are attracting? Would you receive them or despise them? Come to me, all you little creatures. Or would you feel disgust towards them? Well, the thoughts you had sitting on the basement floor there, those were the same thoughts the Pharisees had about the people, the publicans and the sinners that Jesus was receiving. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now, receiveth, it simply means he associated with them. He was willing to intermingle with them. He welcomed them to hear his teaching. But to the scribes and Pharisees, this was scandalous. Jesus welcomed these human roaches into his presence. Now the Pharisees, they were to be the shepherds of the people. But instead they felt they were too good to be with them. They felt that they would somehow lower themselves in God's sight by receiving the lost. And so in these verses, can you hear the contempt and the disgust and the abhorrence and the loathing towards these lost sheep that were coming towards Jesus? Now, it was after they murmured, that is when Jesus spoke these three parables. So these parables, I believe the main purpose was to correct the Pharisees' attitudes and actions towards the lost. Some commentators argue whether the lost sheep represents the nation of Israel or not. Some try to make the lost sheep and the lost coin be the church. And I believe these things can be correct. But I believe the main purpose of these parables was to teach all of us about having a correct attitude and action towards the lost crowd around us, just like the crowd that was coming to Jesus. These parables, it displays the heart of God towards the lost. And it begs me to have that same kind of heart. 2,000 years later, do you have trouble with your attitudes and actions towards the spiritual gutter rats? Think of the people around you. The prostitutes, those into pornography, the youth at Walmart with spiked purple hair, your neighbor who always has a beer in his hand, your coworker who has multiple sexual partners, those you interact with who never acknowledge Jesus except in a swear word. Do you receive them? Do you welcome sinners? Do you seek to find the lost and restore them? So Jesus is speaking these parables to me and to you to correct our attitudes and actions towards the lost. The first parable has a shepherd leave the 99 sheep and to look for the one that was lost. The second parable has a woman diligently looking for the one coin of her 10 coins that was lost. In these parables, the shepherd and the woman represent humanity as God desires them to act towards the lost. And the lost sheep and coin represent the sinner who is still in his sins or has backslidden into sins. First of all, let's look at the lost sheep. The sheep, it says, it was lost in the wilderness. Sheep need to be led. When they get on their own, they go astray. And possibly this sheep slipped away unnoticed by the shepherd, and it traveled through the wilderness, and it could not find its way out. It probably got caught in thickets. It was thirsty. It was hopeless. The only hope was in the shepherd caring about it. This sheep only represents 1% of the flock. Just 1%. Yet we see the shepherd, he leaves the 99, possibly at night, he was probably tired, to look for that one sheep in the wilderness. You see, he was not satisfied with the 99. His thoughts were not on the 99, because they were safe. The shepherd was only thinking about finding that one that was lost. Now contrast this with the Pharisees. The Pharisees had multitudes follow them in their strict religious devotion. Many came to the synagogues and temples to hear them teach. They were willing to be leaders to the righteous. But the ones that were lost, they left go. And more than that, they despised the lost. They put walls up between themselves and the lost. But Jesus, he built a roadway for the sinners. He welcomed them. He pursued them. Our attitude towards the lost, are we like the Pharisees or like Jesus? Are we content with just the righteous here at Pleasant Hill? You know, we have the 249. But what about the 250th sheep? Just the one. He is that neighbor with the beer. She is your acquaintance with multiple sexual partners. That one might be the teen with the spiked purple hair at Walmart. Are you satisfied with the 249? Have you been seeking the one? Have you been willing to take actions to bring the one back? And without you, they are lost. These parables hurt, don't they? Sometimes I think we want this church to be a safe place to shelter us from the human cockroaches. But Jesus says if we hole up at Pleasant Hill and we don't seek that one, we are just modern Pharisees. The 1% are to be our focus. The second parable deals with the lost coin. Verses 8 and 9. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Some commentator said in the first parable, it mentions the sheep being lost in the wilderness, and this represents the world. In the second parable, the coin is lost in the house, and so the house might represent the church, that the church, sadly, might allow some to become lost. The first parable says which was lost. In other words, the shepherd did not lose it. The sheep on its own went astray. The second parable, the woman says, which I have lost. As a church, how many have we lost? Lost because of apathy. Lost because we have so many. What does it matter? Lost because we don't want to admit we have problems we need to deal with. She lost her coin. The shepherd didn't lose the sheep. But now we see that her actions matches the shepherd's actions. She notices a coin is missing. And look at everything she does. It says she lights a candle. Can you see her holding the lamp in her hand? And she grabs a broom. And she starts sweeping the house. And she seeks it diligently. And finally she finds it. Commentators seem to agree that the coin she was looking for probably had little value. It was believed to be a drachma, which is just a fourth part of a shekel, and it didn't have much value. But because this woman was poor, She only had 10 drachma coins. She valued it highly. A rich man losing a drachma might not care. But the woman, because she only had 10, she valued it immensely. This seemingly insignificant coin, it had great value in her sight. In this parable, we learn that every lost sinner, we must put a high value on him or her. Every sinner needs treated like they are a bar of gold, even if they just seem like a drachma. With the coin, we learned a sinner that in our sight seems to have little value, yet in reality, we are to esteem them of great value. Think of the publicans and sinners you met this last week. What were your thoughts towards them? Did you value them as being precious? They're made in the image of God. They have an eternal soul. Did you seek to bring them to God? Did you light the lantern? Did you sweep the house? Do you see their great worth of their soul? Or did you look down and despise them? Jesus received the poor, Lazarus the beggar. He received extortioners, Zacchaeus, tax collectors, Matthew, thieves, the dying robber, harlots, the woman who was a sinner, adulterers, the woman of Samaria, persecutors and murderers. He received Paul, backsliders. He received Peter. As I studied this, it made me ashamed of my attitude at times. You know, I see the beer, the tattoos, the swearing, the gambling. They're not like me. And I put up walls. And it makes me a modern day Pharisee. When I was young, about 6 years old, my parents, we left the Lutheran church. And we came to Pleasant Hill mainly because my grandpa attended here. But I remember years ago, an older member, I think it was Brother Charles Lehi, told me that when my grandpa was younger, he went through a time of rebellion. But yet, evidently, there was one or two in this church who pursued my grandpa, who pursued that one and brought him back. How are you doing? Jesus spoke to the Pharisees about their attitudes, about the sinners who were around them. And today Jesus is speaking to me and you about giving us these same questions. Who are we like? With the lost sheep, we learned that a lost sheep, even if it's just the 1%, it needs to be searched for. A sheep was a high-value item, but when it was just 1 out of 100, it made it seem insignificant. Not so, says Jesus. Every sinner is important. The one is important. With the lost coin, we learned that every person has high value in God's sight. I want to give us 3 questions to help us discern where we are at. How much are we like the Pharisees? Or how much are we like the shepherd or the woman that searched for the coin? Question number 1. Do you put up a roadway or a wall to the lost? Do you put up a roadway or a wall to the lost? Jesus received them. The road was open for him. For the sinners and despised and for the trash of society. He had the roadway open to talk with him, to learn from him. He received them. But the Pharisees, they put up a wall of self-righteousness. They despised the sinners. They viewed themselves as superior to the sinners. And their mindset was to associate with sinners, it means they had to step down. And maybe they thought they would become unclean by association. Maybe they thought that association, that would make the sinners think that they're okay in their sins. And so they put up a wall in their self-righteousness to obstruct. Jesus put up a doorway to welcome. One of God's creatures he created are bees. I personally despise bees. I avoid bees. I put space between myself and bees. But yet, you know, some people put up beehives and invite bees to live on their property. Most people despise snakes. I mean, they see a snake, they will grab a shovel to try to chop off its head as quick as they can. But yet others have snakes for pets. Some Christians complain about the immoral. They despise the sinner. They avoid association with sinners. Other Christians talk to sinners. They witness to them. They tell them about Jesus. They try to bless the sinner and help them. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Jesus felt compassion to the lost. Jesus was attracted to the lost. We tend to feel repulsed by the lost. Are you a Pharisee or shepherd towards sinners? What is your attitude towards them? Do you build roadways or walls? Question number two. Do you have fervent emotions and actions to restore the lost? How many of you noticed the emotion and the actions in these parables? The shepherd in his love dropped everything and searched for the one. And then it says he put the lost sheep on his shoulder. And it didn't carry it back to where the flock was. He carried it back to his house. And the woman is emotional. She is so sad that the coin was lost. And she springs into action, lights a lamp, sweeps the house. And it wasn't an action because someone made them search. It was in their heart. He greatly desired to find the one. She greatly desired to find the one coin that most did not value. And their desire brought action. And it took time. It took lots of time. It took their resources. It took their physical energy, tracking through the wilderness, sweeping the house. Do you have a fervent desire to restore the lost? When we think of lost and found, restore and rejoice, most people stop at the found part. They never go to the restore. We talk about the youth wearing an engagement ring. We talk about the brother or sister getting involved in things they shouldn't. We talk about the brother who is a workaholic and neglects his family. So we find the lost sheep and the lost coins in our neighborhood, our co-workers, our relatives, church members. But we only find. We never take action to restore. We talk, we murmur and complain. But where are our emotions and our actions? I see someone now and then. His name is Bill. Bill is a big, husky character. And he's a big, husky, rough character. You know, tattoos, beer, swears, says what he thinks. One day Bill told me that years ago he was getting chemo for cancer. And he got to the point where he gave up on the chemo because of the side effects. The day after he had chemo, he would get terribly sick. And also he wasn't getting any better. So he gave up. He decided to quit chemo and just die. The next day, he got a call from Jimmy, who asked him about his chemo appointment. Bill said, "I'm done. I'm not going anymore. I can't take the sickness." Jimmy said, tell you what, I'll come with you. We'll go for chemo together. So they went together, and Bill got his chemo. And then Bill told me, he said, Ray, I might start crying when I tell you this. He said, but the next day, I didn't get sick, but Jimmy did get sick. He carried my sickness for me. And Bill, this big, rough character, was sobbing as he told me this. You see, Jimmy saw someone lost in physical sickness and came beside him. We have sin, have all around us those lost in spiritual disease. They need someone to stand beside them and give them the solution, which is Jesus Christ. Have we invited our neighbors for dinner? Have we invited the coworker to church? Have we tried to help others with their physical needs to pave the way to help them with their spiritual needs? Have you taken that youth out to McDonald's for supper to try to encourage them? Talk is cheap. Anybody can murmur about the lost, but action is costly. What if God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit would have only talked about you? No action. Christ did much more than the man and lady in our parables for us. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny, was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ezekiel 34, verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. I will seek that which was lost and bring them that was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. We started talking about the publicans and sinners who came to Jesus. You and I are in that group of sinners. Are you glad for the actions of Jesus towards you? But are you fervently with desire? Are you building roadways like Jesus for sinners? Or are you despising them, building walls like the Pharisees? Are you passive? Are you filled with apathy? Are you expecting the others to do the searching? Let the ministers take care of this. Let the youth advisors take care of it. Are you full of excuses? Or are you out in the wilderness searching for the one and carrying the lost? Are you diligently sweeping the floor for the one who has little value in the eyes of others? Jesus spoke these parables to let the Pharisees and Ray Mummer know what our actions and attitudes should be towards sinners. We ask the question, do we present a roadway or a wall to sinners? We ask the question, do we have fervent emotions and actions to restore the lost? The third question I have, what do I value and get emotional about? Each of us tend to be happy and joyful about things we value. If I collected baseball cards and I at a yard sale, I found a rare baseball card, I mean, I would be really happy. As soon as I got in my car, I would probably get on my cell phone and call all my friends. We are emotional about the things we value. Look at the emotions in these parables about the things they valued. Verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. The shepherd was so emotional over finding the sheep. He valued the one. He was filled with joy at finding the lost. And soon he invited his friends and neighbors to come to his home and celebrate together. This sheep was lost and it's found. It's restored. Rejoice with me. I'm so happy he is found. In verse 9, and when she hath found the coin, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And it's hard to understand her emotions at finding that coin of little value until you realize how poor she was. So this coin had great value to her. She sends words to her friends, to her neighbors. I'm so happy. I found this coin. Rejoice with me. It was lost, but was found and restored. Rejoice with me. Now Jesus, he didn't really interpret this parable for the Pharisees. They knew he was referring to them. But I think for us, Jesus gives us a glimpse into heaven to help us to understand how valuable the publicans and swindlers and those what you might consider human spiritual cockroaches, how valuable they are in his sight. Look at verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. When a lost sinner, lost in this world, repents, in heaven the word spreads. In heaven there is joy over that one. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over the one sinner that repenteth. In heaven, the angels rejoice when the sinner comes to Christ. In heaven, the angels rejoice when a backslider breaks free from his bondage to pornography or alcohol or whatever it is. The Pharisees, they despise the sinner. They stomp their feet at them. The sinners made them terribly unhappy. But Christ is telling us that the greatest joy in life comes in seeking the lost, finding the lost, restoring the lost, and rejoicing in their salvation. What brings you the greatest joy? I know I was happy that time I caught a bass that weighed 7.25 pounds. I'm happy when I try a new flavor of homemade ice cream. That's a success. Maybe you're happy when the stock market goes up, or you have a bumper crop, or you land a great job, getting rain at the right time. And these things are good. But you know, compared to the eternal, they have little value. Charles Spurgeon said, shall I start a business? Shall I become the country's top fox hunter? Shall I devote my time to political and social reform? Consider them all. But if you are a Christian, nothing will compare in enjoyment, usefulness, honor, and enduring reward for giving oneself up to soul winning. It's fantastic hunting, and it beats all fox hunting in excitement and exhilaration. Haven't I sometimes chased a poor sinner through hedges and ditches, keeping up with him at every turn till I overtook him by God's grace, was in at the death, and delighted exceedingly when I saw him captured by my master? No other fishermen have as much labor, grief, and joy as we do. What a joy it is to win souls for Jesus while remaining in your secular calling. The workshop, the laundry, the nursery, the drawing room, all can win souls. Wherever we go, we hunt, by the wayside, beside the fire, among the crowd. We have no other theme among the great than Jesus. You will be sensible, my brother, if your sole purpose is to convert the ungodly. You will receive a crown adorned with many stars, which you will place at Jesus' feet at his return. James 5, verse 20 says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. If there was a car accident and I pulled a man from a burning car, it would be something to rejoice in. But it's nothing compared to the rejoicing of pulling someone out of hell's fire. The joy of pulling someone from the bondage of pornography. The joy of pulling someone from a life of bitterness. The joy of pulling someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The joy of restoring a husband and wife relationships. You see, these things have eternal weight. Our jobs, our baseball cards, our guns, our hobbies, they don't have any eternal value. This morning, you and I are on the same road with Jesus, the Pharisees, the publicans, and the sinners. And each of us are more like the Pharisees than we thought we were. Jesus spoke these parables to our hearts. What do we need to change with our attitude towards the lost? What do we need to change with our actions towards the lost? What do we need to change with restoring the lost? What do we need to change with our emotions towards the lost? What do we need to do with rejoicing more with those who repent? As a church body, we need to rejoice fervently when a brother or sister or someone from the outside repents of their sin. This morning, a brother asked for permission to share right now something that we can rejoice at. I'm going to ask him to come forward right now.
Let's kneel for prayer.